Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back with 96 Lives. I'm your host, Robert Hart, and this is our first podcast for the year. But as you know, our festival season will be in full gear shortly, and then we'll be back over and over again, and you'll probably get tired of hearing my voice. Anyway, though, today is National Park Day, where we have volunteers come out to Star Fork to help spruce up the park for the new season. And we have a very special guest here today, Miss Ada Fry.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. You ready to get right to it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, first, what is a Junior Ranger? Can you explain that to us?
Junior Rangers with the National Park Service. It could be any ages. They go to the national park, receive a Junior Ranger booklet, and then they visit the park and learn about it, and they fill out that booklet. And when they're done, they earn a Junior Ranger badge. And I've collected over 400 Junior Ranger badges, medals, and pins, and I've been to 266 national parks in 6 years.
Okay. How did you get started with all this? I mean, are you just into history, or do you like traveling, or being in different places? Or?
Well, I was 9 years old, and I went to Apogee Mountains in Iowa for the first time, and two very nice lady rangers came up to me, and they invited me to do the program. And I had no clue what a national park was. I didn't know anything about the Junior Ranger program or anything, really, and I was just curious of what it was. So they helped me fill out the booklet. And I learned a lot about that national park. It's basically Indian mounds, Indian burial mounds, and they're all in, like, different shapes. So there's, like, a bear and an eagle, I remember. And I just thought it was so cool. And I'm from Chicago, and obviously we don't have any of that. And I was wondering how many national parks I could visit. And the more I visited the national parks, the more I realized how different they were from each other. So I just really enjoyed visiting them, and I just kept going on with that.
Okay. All right, so now you're a Junior Ranger. Do you have any plans after being a Junior Ranger? Are you going to be a history teacher? Or?
Well, I actually plan to be the director of the National Park Service.
Okay.
So I could, well, there's 417 national parks, and I'm hoping when I'm in office I can make it to 500.
All right. Boy, you have some big plans.
Yeah, I do.
Now, I also understand that you're a published author.
Oh, I am.
Tell us a bit about that.
In May of 2016, I released my first book, America Can Have Your Autograph, The Story of Junior Ranger Ada Fry. And the book is just about all the national parks that I've been to and how I want kids to visit the parks, and how they can learn about their country. And
now you said your first book. How many do you have?
Oh, that's my first book. I'm currently writing the second one, and I'm hoping it could be released soon. But I'm still working on it because the first book's about the first 200, and I'm hoping by the time I reach 300, I'll be able to release the second book.
Okay. And hello, the person calling in with the number ending in 1439, you're on the air.
Good morning, Robert. This is Jennifer Donlin from the 96 Historical Society. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Just fine. Say hello, Ada.
Hello.
Hi. It's great to have you in 96. I'm excited that you're here.
I'm excited to be here, too. I really am enjoying the park right now.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, the park is... I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to just comment that the park is a wonderful park. It's not one of the most publicized national parks, but it is certainly very prominent in the American Revolution.
Okay. Ada, do you have any questions about 96? She's the one to ask.
Do you have any questions for me?
Well, yeah, one of them would be, are you going to include us in your book?
My second book? Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good. Good.
It's hard to, because I have to write about, 100 parks, but I'll be sure to include all the special ones.
Well, I'm glad you consider us special. There are some very unique features about the park. I don't know how much about the park you know. Some of the very unique features are, first, it was the first land battle south of New England during the American Revolution. It was the longest battle of the American Revolution, so it holds 2 national park records. The Earthen Star Fort at the National Park is the only Earthen Star Fort left worldwide.
Wow.
And the only remaining Patriot dug tunnels, military tunnels in the entire country, are located at the National Park in 96. So it is a very wonderful place if you study the American Revolutionary history. It's definitely a must-see. So I'm honored that you're visiting 96. That's wonderful. And I congratulate you. Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Ada has some interest in, I guess, arrowheads, that type thing. Do you have any suggestions once he goes out to the park?
Well, there is the Indian Trail, which is the original path that the Indians took. The Kiowa and the Cherokee Indians used to trade. That's actually how the national park had gotten started. It was started by a trader, Robert Gowdy, who built a small trading post there. And he traded with the Indians. He had been an Indian trader up in Tennessee before he moved to 96. So there is an Indian trail there. Now, of course, you know that you can't remove any of the artifacts from the national park. But there is a museum inside of the visitor center at the national park that does have some artifacts on display. And I'm sure the rangers there could definitely point you to the area that they were located in.
Cool. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
He has a question for you, Jim.
Okay. I'm here. Go ahead.
So you said this was the longest battle in the Revolutionary War. How long did it last?
The battle actually lasted 28 days.
How long?
And it ended 28 days.
28 days?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes.
Defeat.
28 days.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, the park is not as known as well as I believe that it possibly should be, and because it wasn't considered a major win for the American forces, because it was a standstill, basically. We couldn't breach inside the fort, the walls of the Earthen Fort. But the goal was accomplished. The original goal was to remove the Loyalists and the British forces from the area. And when General Nathaniel Greene left, he left because the British were sending up enforcements. They were sending 2,000 troops up from Charleston. So the Americans did leave the area, but they accomplished their goal because the British left. They didn't want to remain here because they knew if they did, the Americans would come back. So it was definitely a benefit to the war, you know, to the American side of the war. But it's not known as a victory, an outright victory.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I hope you enjoyed the park and you have a wonderful day. And thank you for visiting 96. It was very nice talking to you. And I look forward to seeing your books in the future.
It was nice talking to you, too. Maybe we can meet in person one day.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. And thank you, Robert, for inviting me. And I hope you enjoy your day at the park today as well.
All right.
They have some events going on out there. Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, for our spring break trip, we're actually visiting 8 parks in total.
Okay.
We're visiting 96, of course, Congaree, Fort Sumter, Charles Stickney, Reconstruction Era, and then we're going to Georgia to visit Fort Pulaski, Fort Frederica, and Cumberland Island Seashore.
Where do you get all the time? That's not...
well, we usually travel whenever we can, sometimes in long weekends. And in the summer, we usually go on a 3-week trip. And this summer, we're going out to California.
Okay.
To visit some parts because they have a lot.
Is there any part of the country you haven't been to yet?
Well, we haven't gone to Washington or Oregon, Idaho. We've been to Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, but not as much as, I don't know, because we've been to a lot of national parks, but they're getting harder and harder to visit because we're from Chicago, and it's kind of hard to go to Texas and then come all the way back and visit their parks. So we pretty much hit all the national parks close to our city, but getting hard.
So do you consider this like a hobby or fun? Or?
I consider this, I don't know, it's like a second life, I guess, because in Chicago, we don't have that many parks. The only park that we have near us is Pullman National Monument, and I'm actually going to be working there over the summer, hopefully. And we also have Indiana Dunes in Indiana. And I take my friends sometimes over there, and we visit the dunes, we go to the beach, and we have fun. But
so you do take a day off.
Yeah, out of National Park, because usually I go to a national park, and I fill out my junior range booklet, meet a lot of people, maybe do some interviews, TV interviews, or newspaper interviews. So I have a lot on my plate, but it's fun.
Okay. What's been your favorite park?
Well, it's hard to choose.
And why?
It's hard to choose just one out of the 266. So for me, it's actually impossible to have just one favorite.
Okay, top three.
Top three, that's still pretty difficult because they're all so different from each other. You can't really choose, I guess. But because they're all so different, like in Illinois, you can't visit an island or you can't visit a battlefield usually in Chicago. But I would say one of my favorites is Castillo de San Marcos in Florida because the fort there was made out of seashells, and I thought that was pretty cool because they made it out of compact seashells, so then the bombs that would be thrown at the fort, it would be absorbed, like the contact would be absorbed, so it would be harder for the fort to fall. So I thought that was pretty unique. Like, can't see that very often, and I think they only have 3 in the world, 2 in the world, so we thought it was cool. I would say that one is one of my favorites.
What's another?
Effigy Mounds, because that was my first national park. And that's kind of how this whole thing started, just with that park, and that's a special park to me, and one of my favorites because it's so unique and it really started everything. Another national park. I'm looking at that right now. It's hard to choose another one because there's just so many of them.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone always asks me, like, what's your favorite national park? And I don't, it's hard to answer that question because there's just so many of them. It's like choosing, what's your favorite jelly bean flavor? Like, there's just so many of them.
Okay. right. Anything else you'd like to say? Are you coming back to visit us?
Soon, because we finished North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama, but we haven't really gone to Florida. We really have to go to Dry Tortugas and Everglades, so we might stop by 96. And we have a lot of friends here in South Carolina.
Okay.
So we could come back and visit. Yeah, but we're just really planning a lot of trips. After this one, like I mentioned, we're going to go to California. And I'm not really sure which ones we're going to after. We might come back for Thanksgiving. But there's just so many national parks that it's getting really hard to visit them.
Well, you're doing one heck of a job.
We're trying. Do you visit the national park?
No, I haven't visited too many. I grew up in Philadelphia, so I went to, of course, the Liberty Bell. I went over to Valley Forge, you know, everything in the area. I've visited over the years. But now I'm going to start getting back into it when I get time. Mm-hmm. But this will be my busy season, too, with doing podcasts and YouTube videos and Facebook Live.
Right.
Festivals. So, yeah, after Labor Day, I'll probably get a chance to go check out a few more things. But I'd like to learn the different things, too. So I can appreciate that. Well, I'd like to thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was pretty fun. Don't really do podcasts, but this was interesting.
Well, like I said, we're trying to do things a little differently here. Actually, it's funny the way this got started. One of my first interviews was with this woman. When I first had the idea, she was 98 years old.
Wow.
But she still has all her marbles. So I wanted to talk to her, you know, and because God forbid if anything happened to her, you know, we'd have some sort of record of, and she lived in this town for, I guess about 70, 80 years. So she had the town history along with, you know, knowing how things started here. So I started interviewing her. By the time I actually got started, she had turned 100, no, 99. Ended up doing 7 interviews with her.
Wow.
Because she had so much to tell. And show how far back she goes. The husband was one of the guys that actually struck out Babe Ruth. She tells stories about seeing his first airplane. She saw his awful guy and hit her.
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy stories. So I have about 7 podcasts I think with her. And that definitely got me started. So since then, I've met all different kinds of people, different topics, learned a lot. Met some great people, so I just keep doing it. And when you go back and check out the link on the podcast, you'll see it. It's called Once in a Lifetime Interview. And boy, she's telling some stories. So my name's Helen Ballou, and yeah, I enjoy talking with her all the time. She comes to the senior center right across the street every day. And I guess she's 102 now. She still has her marbles.
Thanks.
Yeah. And now this is the funny part. Most people, when they get to an age, they can't remember what they did 5 minutes ago. She'll watch all the games over the weekend, and then she'll come in here Monday morning and say, oh, so-and-so had so many yards rushing, so many yards passed. Oh, you see that interception? Oh, she just runs stuff off. Like. So it's amazing to hear her talk. So, yeah, I just had a good time with her. And, so I guess I've met quite a few amazing people over the last few years, so that's why I keep doing it. And now it's part of public record for the town, so people can always go back and listen to it. So I guess that's my hobby.
I've met some pretty interesting people, too. I've met the director of the National Park Service, John Jarvis.
Okay.
Then now we have an acting superintendent, because John Jarvis actually retired, but I met him in Washington, D.C. in his office, and I thought that was pretty cool because he gave me I'm actually wearing them right now on my hat. But since I know everyone on the podcast can't see this, but I'm wearing my Junior Ranger hat. And on the front, there's a little gold arrowhead, and John Jarvis gave me that pin. So now I wear it on my hat.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to wrap it up for today. Like I said, thank you for stopping by, and hope you come back sometime soon and visit us.
I will. Trust me, I will.
Okay, and before I do sign off, of course, we got a few things coming up. April 1st at 9 a.m. will be opening day at the Boozer Sports Complex. 10 a.m. that day, we're going to have Crossroads at Starport, which will be a full reenactment with the full encampment, weapon demonstrations, music, dancing, games, and more. That'll be from 9 to 3. That's Saturday and Sunday, the 1st and 2nd. Festival of Stars pageant is coming up. That'll be the 22nd of April at 2 p.m. Applications, you can pick them up at the Visitor Center or at Town Hall. First Saturday in May will be our townwide yard sale. You can start signing up the 4th of April. Spaces will be $15 a piece. And in case you haven't heard, we're going to have our Festival of Stars, which will be our big 4th of July festival. Aaron Tippin will be headlining the show. You can get tickets online at eventbrite.com. We expect a really big crowd this year. So if there's any chance at all, we would tell you to get in early. So I guess that's about it for now. I'm your host, Robert Hart, and I'm signing off for now. Bye.